Hello, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot, so librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm the Library Lady on Podomatic. So I'm going to talk today about my last ARC currently on NetGalley. I had to clear it out. Found a whole bunch of stuff that I hadn't fed back at all. I'm sorry. So I cleared out my thing and I had only one left. And now I'm working on my last Barnes & Noble book. I promise I will get to it. But this last book was called Mr. Perfect on Paper by Jean Meltzer. It's cute. It's supposed to be a rom-com. It has its moments, but she actually mentions in the book many things that I have a problem with this book, which is very odd. So what we have here with Mr. Perfect on Paper is Dara Rabinowitz, who is a third-generation matchmaker, at least third, you know. Her grandma was a matchmaker and is there and is kind of having difficulties. She's got a brain tumor, so she has her good days and her bad days. But her grandma was a traditional matchmaker. Her mother was a traditional matchmaker. Her mother died when she was young. And now Dara Rabinowitz has taken the world by storm by coding. She has extreme generalized anxiety disorder, which I also have GAD, but not nearly to this effect. And so she has all of these things, and a lot of the book ends up being kind of about her GAD, or she's constantly having anxiety and she's constantly dealing with it, and I get it, with anxiety just doesn't go away, but maybe she needs to work on her meds, balancing those, because they're obviously not doing her very good. So anyway, she's in order to deal with her anxiety when she was young, she learned how to code, and learning how to code, she created JMate. JMate is a Jewish matching system, so anybody who's Jewish can go on there, create an account, and try and find someone. And so here she is. Her grandma's created like over 300 honest to goodness matches with a lot of time and focus and energy on it. Dara has created like over 10,000 matches, and they're all because of algorithms and stuff. So she's created this algorithm to create the perfect match, and that's what she's looking for. She's looking for someone who matches her algorithm. And one night, she got a little drunk with her sister and created a list of the perfect Jewish husband, the perfect husband for her. And so it was just kind of an off thing. It had nothing to do with anything. She just kind of, you know, she was drunk. She ignored it and went on with her day. But her grandmother found it. And one day, in order to promote JMate, and also because of the high holidays coming up and this television show, this morning, afternoon, whatever, daytime talk show, needing someone to fill in some time, especially because of the Jewish high holidays, they grab her and she grabs her grandmother and they go on the show. And at some point in the middle of the show, her grandmother pulls out the list and reads it out loud. And the host, of course, is charming and affable and thinks it's hilarious. And this host is someone that Dara has been watching every single day since he started the show a couple years before. So she's crushing on him. They're supposed to be Insta sparks and that kind of stuff. But we do have a few other issues. Our Chris Steadfast, as his stage name is, showed up a couple of years before to this town, to New York, to this part of New York, and started this daytime show because his wife, where he had been living like in Virginia or something, and he'd been working on becoming really big as a newscaster. His wife passed away in an accident, leaving him a widower with his daughter. So he just picked up and moved and got this job and found these people to move in with who like live right next to a firehouse, which ends up being something later. And so he's been grieving his wife for 2 years. We won't talk about her, won't you know, only has the one picture showing for his daughter, basically just kind of has been avoiding the world, even though he's been on camera this whole time. He's been totally fake on camera. So Dara has fallen kind of, you know, ooh-ah over this Chris Steadfast. And Chris Steed, his real name, is not quite that person, but, you know, yeah. Anyway, with the fact that this interview has gone horribly wrong and then gone viral and suddenly made his show popular, a show which was about to get canceled because it kept tanking in the ratings, he comes up with this idea to work with Dara, even though she's super busy, apparently, even though we never see her doing anything, but she's super busy. And since the High Holy Days are coming, he's going to set her up on a date for each of the High Holy Days that they're going to film, some live, some taped, to create segments to try and keep his ratings up so that he can keep his job, so that he can stay where he is, so he doesn't have to move his daughter again, that kind of thing. Dara, you know, of course, is immediately attracted to him, but he's not Jewish, so chuck that, you know, immediately. Just, he's not Jewish. We're not going to even go there, so there we go. And then Chris is attracted to her, but for some reason, it feels really forced, because for some reason she smells like his now dead wife. This perfume that they created in France just for her, you know, when he was there with her, they worked together and they created this beautiful perfume, and somehow Dara's smell has that smell, and that's his first major attraction, is wait a second. So that's, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's these forced moments. And in the early chapters, when they're having this very first interview on TV that is not going well until the moment Grandma pulls out the list, he keeps thinking to himself, this is scripted, scripting is horrible, because Dara has such anxiety, she insisted on a script, so he doesn't like scripts, but he's going with it until Grandmother, you know, goes insane and pulls out this list. So he's sitting there going, oh, scripted things, they don't feel right, they just don't feel right, and never nothing ever goes right with a script. Just always feels forced. And I'm thinking to myself, so does this book. This book is feeling forced. It's feeling like the author has a list of things that she needs to get checked off, and is feeling like she has to force the boxes. And so it also feels forced, just like this interview that he starts off, and that, of course, goes off the rails, and Grandmother does her thing. And now they have this new segment where on the High Holy Days, he's going to film Dara in various dates, and he's going to pick the guy, according to her list that Grandma read out loud, he's going to pick a guy and set up these beautiful dates. And, of course, all the dates, in terms of the starting line, all look amazing. Chris goes out of his way, and he just decorates and makes sure everything's perfect and everything. But each date has something go horribly wrong. The first date is in some sort of thing with honey and apples, and I can't remember the holiday for it, but it's perfectly aligned, and oh, isn't it great? But then there's a bee, and you would think, well, honey, and you're on a honey farm, you're gonna have bees, but she freaks out over the bee, and the bee goes into her hair, which at some point is described like a big peach, which makes me think really bad hair, but they love it. Oh my gosh, that's so cute. And the bee gets into her hair, and there's this whole comedic moment with her trying to get it out. And then, of course, this is hysterical because it's no longer scripted, and it's like, you know, and it's another viral video, and then ratings keep going up. Yay! And the next date, something else goes wrong. One of the dates, she ends up going into the emergency room of a hospital, and it seems that they're finally going to confess it. She might finally get over the non-Jewish thing, and they might have their moment, and you know it's coming, and we get the almost kiss, and then in walks Dr. Perfect. He's Mr. Perfect on paper. He checks off every single freaking box, and this is another point where I'm like, wait, because she immediately shuts down Chris. She doesn't even think about him anymore. She does not even look at him anymore. She just immediately goes to this doctor, Mr. Dr. Daniel, and totally ignores Chris. Not even a moment of, well, wait, what if? No, she just drops him like a freaking hot potato. And of course, later on, changes her mind and, you know, maybe Dr. Perfect isn't so perfect after all and blah, blah, blah. Just for some reason, his kisses don't, quote, taste right. And so that's what gets her to start thinking maybe this isn't working because the kisses don't taste right. But she, that immediate drop, he checks all the boxes to heck with everybody else. This is the guy. And ignoring this person who's been with her for the last couple of weeks or months or whatever and treating her awesome and everything, just dropped her like a freaking hot potato. Just things like that. Other things that happen in the book are, it starts off, yes, she's Jewish, and we don't get enough representation of Jewish, the Jewish culture in rom-coms and books and that kind of, and I totally fine with that. In the beginning, there are some terms used and you're kind of like, wait, what? But then it flips, goes completely in the opposite direction. Instead of being an organic part of it, just, you know, these are the terms that she uses because she's raised this way, because of her family. All of a sudden now we're explaining everything. And while, hey, history lesson and information, this is pretty cool. I've learned some things. The other part of me is like, what the heck does this have to do with a rom-com? We're suddenly getting a culture lesson, a religious lesson, or a holiday lesson in the middle of this rom-com-y thing. And it felt out of place. We do have the daughter. She's interesting, a little not... I don't know if the author hasn't been around 12-year-olds recently, but doesn't quite feel like it. She has moments where she's like 5 and moments where she's like 25. And it's just kind of like, wait, what? And so there's, you know, there's some sparks. There's some connection. There's some moments. There's some pieces. But by the end of it, it felt, again, like the author had a list that she was checking off as she went. Did I have this moment? Check. Did I have this moment? Check. Did I have this moment? Check. You know, it just felt like she was checking it off. Just like the scripting thing with Dara in the beginning, it just kind of felt like there were tick boxes and she was just marking them as she went, which didn't necessarily feel so organic and perfect. And there were moments that were more organic. Like you could tell she was having fun. You could tell Meltzer had fun with certain scenes. It felt fun. It felt cute. It felt like there was just a mood lift or a tone lift in there. And it was like, oh, wow, this is cute. And then we have to go back to ticking our boxes. So you know, I like tropes. I like some formulas. I do. But they have to have, there has to be some sort of feeling of the author was really enjoying those tropes, was really having fun with them, was just going with them and really, you know, filling them out, not just ticking them off, but going, hey, I'm going to take it. I'm going to run with it. This is just tick boxes. And by the end of it, it felt like somebody was trying to create the outline for a Hallmark story. Or a Lifetime movie or something more Hallmarky, you know, the end with the, you know, what she does when the final high holiday is coming and there's a marriage proposal. So wait, this is Hanukkah. So near Hanukkah, her grandmother's birthday, the guy's going to hijack her grandmother's 90th birthday party for a marriage proposal, which I think is just that in itself, I thought was just rude. You know, her grandmother's about to die and she's 90 years old and she's gonna have this wonderful, amazing birthday party that Dara's been planning for months, long before this whole thing even started, and this guy's gonna hijack it for a freaking wedding proposal. Who the heck are you? That's like proposing, you know, at a almost as bad as proposing at a wedding ceremony. You just don't do that. It's just no, it's somebody else's event. You take your own thing and do it your own place. Just don't don't hijack events, even if the person's okay with it. It's not okay with me. Just don't do that. Your event becomes your event. Their event should be their event, and neither of the twain shall meet. So that is a moment, and then of course things go awry and blah blah blah, and then there's this whole thing, and because of the firehouse being right next door to him and all this other stuff, they go into this place, and there's they take the fire trucks to get to the bridge, and then on the bridge there's too much traffic, and I'm thinking to myself, this is probably 9 or 10 o'clock at night, on because the way the time has been spent for the whole day with hours with doing these things at night, you know, maybe 8, and they're like, oh, traffic, it's icy on Hanukkah. It's like the last night of Hanukkah on, like, it's supposed to be a Thursday in Manhattan, and everything's, and it's icy and it's cold and all the cabs are gone and there's traffic everywhere, and I'm like, who are you kidding? They're like, no, just no, no, no. You can't. What, did you think it was 5 o'clock all of a sudden again? I mean, anyway, but it was built to be this moment, like a great big Hanukkah moment with him coming in on a fire truck and her coming in her heels, walking across a bridge, which she has terrible fear of, and then meeting in the middle and so again, forced. It was forced. It was not fun. It was not, you know, again, it had moments where it was like the author Meltzer was having some fun here. This moment the author enjoyed. This moment was one that the author was liking, was really having fun writing. But then it just formulaic, tick the boxes, get Hallmark to buy the rights to the story so you can get some extra cash off of it, that kind of thing. It was not, it just wasn't. So I was trying to decide between 2 and 3 and 2 and 3 and 2 and 3. And like, I'm trying, you know, I want to give it a 3 because it has some moments, but I'm having such a difficult time with Dara just dropping him so hard. So that tells you right away that that the spark wasn't enough. Even if Mr. Perfect on paper showed up, if the author was really creating this feeling, this relationship between Chris and Dara, and if they were really supposed to be finally sparking, and if she was really starting to think, maybe my husband doesn't have to be Jewish or something, if she was really having that moment right there where they were about to have that romantic moment, if this guy had walked in and been perfect on paper, she would have at least stopped and thought about it. She would have at least had a moment of, wait, but he is... and maybe I should, but no, she just drops him. And then later she regrets it. But it's like, no, it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel believable. It didn't feel real. And again, it felt like it was a list that had to be checked. And I just, honestly, I kept coming up with the thought that at some point our little perfect on paper guy would have been someone who was faking it and had created a profile after the grandma had made this list, because he showed up on JMate right after the list outing viral video. And so I just kept thinking, he's gonna be fake. He's gonna be a person who you know, faked it, you know, had a few of the qualities and decided he wanted to become famous and do this, and that never resolved. That never, you know, that feeling never resolved itself. I was constantly, even towards the end, when, yeah, it was real and blah, 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 I was still thinking there's going to be a moment where somebody finds out that he faked some of it, that some of it wasn't real, that maybe he was Jewish, but he wasn't as devout as he made it seem, or something, just so he could get on TV. That feeling was right there. The timing of it was perfect, and that never resolved. I'm still feeling like that, and even, you know, even with the ending and knowing how it ended and everything, I'm just kind of like, wait, the timing is just too, it just felt unplanned and weak because of all the boxes that needed to be ticked. So Mr. Perfect on Paper by Jean Meltzer. ARC from NetGalley, thank you for it. But I'm gonna, on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being, oh, really? No. And 5 being, yeah, oh my god. 2 being, eh. 3 being, eh. 4 being, huh. I'm gonna go with 2. I'm gonna go with, eh. I mean, if you need just something to fill the time and you want to learn about Jewish history and you want to learn about the high holidays and what everything means and how they celebrate it, well, cool. This is a great history book for you, a great cultural study. But in terms of romantic comedy, no, it's just not really. So sorry for the negative and sorry for the long. Oh my gosh, I went on. Yeah, Library Talker, librarytalker.blogspot.com, Library Lady on podomatic.com, where this podcast is hosted. Mr. Perfect on Paper by Jean Meltzer, 2 out of 5. And thank you for listening. If you have comments, suggestions, please go either to librarytalker.blogspot.com or go on to Podomatic and look for Library Lady and leave me a comment. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you for listening, and I hope you guys have a really good day.